Welcome to a Catalyst for Change podcast, where we are a catalyst to inspire compassion among people, promote collaboration with leaders, and build capacity for programming.
Hello, and welcome to the Catalyst for Change show hosted by Support After Abortion. Support After Abortion exists to end the demand for abortion by helping to heal those who have been impacted. My name is Lisa Rowe, and I am the host of your show today. I am also the CEO of Support After Abortion, and I am thrilled to introduce you to our guest today. Hey, Georgette.
Great to be with you all.
I'm so glad you're here. And for those watching and those listening today, I met Georgette probably almost a year ago, and it was such an honor to have that initial conversation with you, Georgette, because you are a woman full of wisdom, experience, personal experience, faith. There's so much that I gleaned from our time together and have since. And so I couldn't wait to share you with our audience so that they could also experience that, because there's something very special about talking to the matriarchs of the abortion healing movement. So without further ado, Georgette, would you introduce yourself to those watching and listening today?
Sure. As Lisa said, I'm Georgette Forney, and I'm the president of Anglicans for Life and co-founder of the Silent No More Awareness Campaign. So I started really working for Anglicans for Life in 1998 and was kind of, it felt kind of weird because as a woman who had an abortion, I certainly didn't think I qualified or I would be the appropriate person to lead a pro-life organization. And I, you know, without even really thinking about it, started sharing my testimony pretty early on, really in the context of what God had done in my life and how he had taken this very shameful, painful experience and had turned it around and was now using it for his purposes. And so I was sharing my testimony, and what shocked me so much in the pro-life movement when you were sharing was to hear how many people would come up after I would talk. They would hug me and they'd whisper "me too" in my ear. And I was really caught off guard that there were so many folks in the pro-life movement that had had abortions or had been touched by abortion. So that was kind of like my crash course into the reality of what was really happening in the hearts of the people involved. But nobody was talking about their experience. And, you know, after you know God's forgiveness, then you can share, because it's not about what wrong you did. It's about what right he did on the cross. So it felt like the only thing I could do was share. So anyhow, that's how I got started in the whole movement. And then Silent No More came along in 2002 when we realized that there was no place for the woman with the personal experience. Everyone was talking around us, but no one was talking to us. And just as, you know, somebody that's gone to a movie or gone to a restaurant shares their review, our testimonies, in essence, became a review of the abortion industry and helping women understand that what they felt was actually very normal. So we started Silent No More. We co-founded it, Janet Morana from Priest for Life and myself, and then the two organizations are considered the sponsoring organizations and are responsible for the day-to-day operation.
That's amazing, Georgette. And you also are the instrument that helped put together the most recent coalition. Could you share a little bit about that?
Yeah, I think it was really funny, actually. So When the genesis of the Silent No More campaign was January of 2002, I created a sign, a homemade sign that said, "I regret choosing to abort my baby." And I carried that sign at the March for Life. And afterwards, when all the other folks got on their buses and headed back home, I stayed up at the Supreme Court by myself and carried and held that sign in front of the pro-aborts, who used to meet there at 5 o'clock for a candlelight vigil. And I stood and I wanted to see if they were concerned with us as women after the procedure. Because I was still pretty new to this whole thing and I really wasn't sure where they stood and maybe we needed to be looking for more common ground. And I was hoping that we would go in that direction. I was really shocked by how rude they were to me. One person said, "I'm sorry you feel that way." But everybody else just kind of looked down at me. Like they were rude. They were, you know, it's that place where they discounted or like gave you that kind of look. Mm-hmm. And I thought, if this is how you're treating a fellow woman who's up here by herself, not trying to cause any trouble, but just really see where you stood, that told me so much about the lack of empathy and compassion and concern for women who have actually had the abortions. We were their consumer. Of anybody, they should be the most concerned about us, but they weren't. And as I walked back to the hotel that night, it was very, very cold. And I was crying and I was really mad. And as I got back to the room and I just kept thinking, what can we do to change the narrative? And that's really how we got to thinking about what we could do to raise awareness amongst the people that were hurting. And I kept thinking, it has to be all driven by the abortion recovery programs. And I knew a lot of those leaders already. And so I thought maybe what we need to do is start an association of all the leaders. And so that was my original intent, was to start the association. But when I talked with everybody and I sought the Lord's guidance, we ended up starting the campaign. So ironically then, what, 16 years after the campaign had been running, the opportunity presented itself when we got together at a meeting to kind of share with the pro-life community all the different abortion recovery programs. And as we were doing all this, I thought, this is the time to organize. So after the formal meeting was over, I got everybody kind of off on the side and I said, hey, what if we actually started a network of all the different people doing abortion recovery to help collate, develop best practices, think about all the different ways that we can raise awareness. So what started out that was going to be the beginning of the process actually ended up coming together 14, 15, 16 years later. And I share that, I mean, because you ask, I share it, and it's really neat to see how we're working together. But I think it's also an important to glean for your viewers and your listeners that when God puts ideas on your heart, how he brings them together and how they actually are manifested very rarely work out the way you think they're going to work out, but they work out right if you just trust him through the process and you just keep stepping out in faith.
Amen, sister. That's so good. And you know, what we keep hearing too, as we glean from the Lord at Support After Abortion, is the time is now. And mm-hmm. So I'm sensing as you're talking that the time wasn't right, that it needed to, whatever kind of seeds and fertilizer needed to happen to all bring us together for such a time. I imagine that you have some insights about that too. Do you sense why the Lord had you wait for almost two decades till we launched the ARC program or the coalition?
Yeah, we call it ARC, the Abortion Recovery Coalition is the initial. Mm-hmm. I do think that it had to do with, one, having enough recovery programs and having really now gotten very good at the virtual endeavor so that people are not limited by what's happening locally in their community. They can access help beyond. So I think, you know, we had to get that piece lined up. We had to have the number of different programs available. My bookshelves are full of different programs that people have written, some that aren't actually even involved with ARC yet, some that were part of the founding of it. So I think the programs were another role. The element of the men being involved, we have a half a dozen organizations that are serving men now. When we started the Silent No More Awareness Campaign in 2002, there were no men. We didn't know men. And it was really interesting because after we did our first series of events in 2003, January, we had men contact us and said, what about us? So very early on, they saw the need, but there weren't healing programs to help them yet. So the healing programs for men. And then I think the other factor that nobody has, that we still are really in the baby stages of, is recognizing the impact abortion has on grandparents, siblings, other family members, members of our society in general. Oftentimes, I think when I see violence on TV or violence, you know, reported in the news, especially amongst young folks, I wonder if our society hasn't been infected with an abortion mentality that says any life, when it gets in my way, is expendable. So my sense is that Silent No More, we started healing the shockwaves of abortion. Save One has the ripples of abortion as a book. There's a couple of other groups. I think you guys are working on something as well. So recognizing the fact that the baby and the mother is the epicenter of the abortion trauma, and realizing how it goes out from there, even the pro-life community, we acknowledge that there are a lot of folks who've been fighting this issue for years that are really carrying the trauma and the pain because of so many babies they weren't able to save. So you're right, it is such a time. Sorry, we have an Amber Alert here in Pennsylvania. So sorry, that went off. Anyway, so I do think the time is right, but the time is right because we're healing not only the mamas and the dads, but the grandparents, the siblings, the clinic workers, the pro-lifers. We're seeing the big picture. And I think our culture is coming to the place where all of the simple solutions are now backfiring, and we're seeing that. And my prayer is that people will turn back to God and recognize that the healing, the resource, the peace is found in a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Yeah, so good, Georgia. And you know, just recently I was talking to somebody about the mental health paradigm as it relates to abortion. And we were talking about how just a few decades ago, we were drilling holes into people's head, trying to relieve them of their psychosis, their psychiatric issues. And we thought that that was a very like real way of solving the problem. And unfortunately, because of the political climate of abortion and all the other rhetoric, and you said the narrative around it, and that, you know, that there's just so many people not talking about it, that you were one of the first people to talk about it in the late 90s, like in a big way, like you have through Silent No More, that it's almost like we finally got to that point where we're realizing you can't drill holes in people's head anymore. It doesn't work. We have the science to understand trauma. We have the science to understand. We have the anecdotal records, the millions of people, right? So as we're looking at the time as now, it does feel like we needed all these things to come together for such a time, because what you're saying is that if we don't have the healing resources for all the millions of men and women that have been impacted by abortion, where would they go?
Exactly. And I would like to correct you a little bit, Lisa, that I don't really ever think of myself as the early pioneers of abortion recovery. We stand on the shoulders. Silent No More is right on the shoulders of WEBA, Women Exploited by Abortion, American Victims of Abortion. Linda Cochran is my hero. Her book, Forgiven and Set Free, was a life-changing one for me. So I think that there were a lot of folks in the 80s and early 90s what we were able to do is we were able to pivot early in the development of the internet and take things to a different level. But the work you guys do at Support After Abortion, to me, is you're now taking it to the next level. And I take such joy in watching what you all are doing, and I celebrate it. And I'm glad you're doing it. It's hard. It's hard work. And so we need to have the ability to pass the torch and encourage the next generation. And I'm thrilled with what you guys are doing, because you're making that next generation have access to the healing they need.
Oh, thank you. I mean, that's such an honor hearing that from you. And what I heard you say is that it's been incremental. Like, we had to start here with Linda Cochran and WEBA and really get a traction that healing was a necessary next step for many people. And then for you to bring it outward with the virtual climate. And now I see Support After Abortion as kind of being the vehicle to get this message wide and bringing people together. What is it that you see as some of the next really pivotal steps, as you would say, pass the baton? What do you think that we should be doing as a movement to really take heed of all that's already been done?
I think that creating more access, or creating creative ways, we need more creative outlet for our stories. There is a dear woman on Facebook. Her name is Angela Folker. And she herself has never had an abortion, but she felt called by the Lord to start taking photographs of women, capturing kind of the pre-healing as opposed to the post-healing testimony. And her creative, she reads the testimonies, and then she creates images, and you can go there and she'll photograph you. And it's really a fun way to express both the pain and the healing, and having more creative outlets. One of the things that we had actually come up with the idea to do, but we didn't, was to create, remember when they were doing AIDS quilts? But they were doing AIDS quilts. So one of the girls came up with the idea of doing quilts for the unborn, for the mamas, to kind of create squares that could then come together and be made into small blankets that NICU units and perinatal hospice could use. Things like that, where we're able to safely express our testimony in a format, in a setting that is safe and can be creative. I think that's the next frontier, is giving women, empowering them, encouraging them to use their gifting and their natural mothering, nurturing spirit to develop artistic expression for our children's lives, the death, our healing, all of that. Letting people find healthy outlets for that, I think, is an important place, because so often, in addition to our stories, the creative has the way of connecting people. Song, dance, that sort of thing, when it can capture the essence, and what would be really cool is to see us not only capture that essence, but then break through into the mainstream culture with our artistic expression. I think that's that place where we can break the stigma in a healthy way. I know that the pro-aborts love to kind of just say we have to destigmatize abortion. And I've thought about this a lot, because we do. We have to destigmatize abortion. We have to empower people to talk about their experience, but they only want to do it from the perspective of celebrating their right to abort. And that's why I think the stigma stays, is that, you know, it, that's not the reality of the narration in our hearts. So, but if we want to really break that stigma open, it's in acknowledging the grief that we feel for our children. It's in giving us permission or empowerment to do that expression in stained glass work, acrylic, you know, oils, whatever it is, you know, murals, birthday cards, little intimate, you know, whatever it is that God has given you the talent and the gifting to do, to use that to express the feelings you've lived with. I'd love to see that. And I think that we will see that as probably another layer, if you will.
Well, you are affirming a team meeting that we had earlier, because I'm not sure if you're aware, but we have partnered with Viable, which is a play that we're bringing to Jefferson City Wednesday, to be the first live showing since COVID. And go ahead.
Yeah, I did hear of I did hear that because I remember the idea of that helped me to see that this is where the creativity is going, and this is where we have to empower women to use these gifts that we've been given in the right way, in the way that's much more natural. So yes, Viable is a great example of that.
But it's so affirming, Georgette, because who knew you were going to say that? And we talked about this at our team meeting this morning, how Viable is just one of the ways. We want to find different ways that, just like you're saying, I mean, I'm so ignited because it is so in line with what we were talking about. We would love to have maybe even a film festival engaging young minds, engaging people that have been wounded by abortion, and how bring this forward. Give us your best piece and let's do a competition, get a scholarship for school, get a scholarship for your, you know, most favorite nonprofit, whatever it is. But how cool would it be to bring all of these creative minds, like you're saying, together in a way to express themselves and then be honored for it? We were seeing the same exact thing this morning. It's amazing.
Well, it's fun. And I'm really blessed because I inherited a couple of pieces when I came to work for Anglicans for Life. There were some pieces that had been done by artists in the early 80s that we have in the office. And one of them is a cross that sits in my window in my office. And it's coming out of a stone, and the baby is on the cross, and the mother is holding the long bar, if you will, the, I don't know what you call that one, the one that's going from the ground up to heaven. She's trying to almost climb up to the baby. And that statue never fails to elicit comments when people come into my office. It catches people's eyes all the time. And you can tell it pushes a button. It connects with the heart. Then there's a beautiful sculpture that Beverly Paddleford did a number of years ago. One of the things that was very popular in the early 2000s was memorial gardens in cemeteries for the unborn. And so Beverly created this statue, and it's Jesus on a rock and a woman sitting next to him. I don't know if you've seen this, but I was also given one of these in a mini form, and it sits right here on my next to me on my desk. And the girl is looking up, and she's holding a chain with her heart, and she's looking up into Jesus's eyes, and Jesus is holding the baby. And I love that right there, because oftentimes when you're talking with someone or even just dealing with what is being presented in the media, you need to be reminded of your forgiveness. You need to be reminded of your, of what Jesus has done on the cross. So, statuary is important. Artistic development is critical. So that's where I'm going next. And that's what I am encouraging folks. And so glad you guys are as well. So yeah,
all the affirmation. That's amazing. And so, Georgette, I want to just honor you again. I'm so grateful for your work and for, like you said, for those that went before you, but for you to have gone before us and have been bold and have been patient and have really persevered through what hasn't been an easy task that the Lord has given you. And I'm so blessed that we are still together and that you're leading the ARC. I mean, the Abortion Recovery Coalition is truly, you're building a military to battle this war. And so it's just phenomenal being a part of that. And I would just love for you, if you have any last words, and then to share with our viewers, if they were interested in contacting you, how would they do that?
Well, people can check out the silentnomore.com website, silentnomore.com. And the thing that's really fun about that is it actually has a link to a place where you can do a memorial for your baby. So we have the unborn memorial site linked to that. So I always encourage folks to visit the unborn memorials and post a memorial. It's one of those little sites that seems kind of simple and innocuous, but the messaging that we get from that, the importance of honoring those lives that we've aborted is there. So visit Silent No More, learn more about us. If you click on the icon that says Healing the Shockwaves, it will take you to that special section. The website is just filled with information and resources. And then you can always email me at mail@silentnomore.com. That will get to my desk as well. So, and I think Georgette@silentnomore.com works as well. So yeah, people can reach out to us any way they need to. We'd love to have them join us in being Silent No More, sharing their testimony, at one of our national events, connecting with our regional coordinators. Give us a call. We're here and we'd love to have you join us. And it was great to be with you today.
You too, Georgette. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for joining us for today's show. If you're interested in learning more, please visit us at our website, supportafterabortion.com.
Thank you for joining us today. If you or someone you know has been impacted by abortion, you are not alone. Contact us today at supportafterabortion.com. If you were inspired by today's message, we welcome you to join the conversation by following us on Facebook or Instagram.